Got a full house tonight, gang. Strewman here, the Four Outdoorsmen. I'll tell you, Flores, F-L-O-R-A-S, just sang on the homegrown show. And I'll tell you what, these guys, guy and lady, congratulations on your 23 years of marriage, I think, just took place a couple of days ago. That was fun, the homegrown show. And thank you, Brian, for getting us in. Strewman here, the Four Outdoorsmen. Boomer's in town, right? He's back, and Lukey's back. And we got a full house.
Yeah, we got everybody. A big crowd.
We got a dog. We got Luma's here. Sophie's here.
Nicole's here. They surprised me with a pair of cowboy boots, Drew.
You're right,
too. Two pair of boots.
Yeah. Really? Why? Why? Yeah. Why? Because you're a nice guy?
Just because I'm a great husband.
I don't think so.
Great dad and husband. He always takes care
of. What is the reason? Was there a particular reason why you got some cowboy boots?
You know what? Because I was looking for a new pair because SHOT Show is coming down, and I'll be there with Fiocchi Ammunition in January. And my old boots, I love them, but I just needed to spice it up a little bit.
So you just, it wasn't comfort, it wasn't the quality of the boots, it wasn't you got to spice it up a little
you
bit.
You look good, you feel good, that kind
I
of
I guess
deal.
You're right,
you
yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's why I've got my Devil's Lake Tours, I'm sure, here right
now. You know what? It is so nice to be back in studio with you guys.
Missed you.
I missed you guys. We put on over 100 miles on the Alumacraft, powered by 250 horses of Evinrude from the great folks at Power Lodge, and we were up there, Josh and I, with Blue 42, and we were with a nonprofit called Time on the Water, which takes care and supports veterans, first responders, and literally just take them out fishing. We stayed at Rod and Reel Club. You know, I called you guys in when I was just passing through Fort Frances and made the joke about kilometers per hour and needing $11 at the toll booth.
No, but that was not a joke. The $11 you needed.
You did.
That still
surprises
me. But
the joke was it took me three locations to get an ATM, right?
That's crazy. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, so it was a great time. I mean, we caught some walleyes, some beautiful bald eagles were up there. It was a great time. It was fun. Our friend of the show, Mike Farrell, you know, with Memories Made Guide Service, he's involved heavily with Time on the Water. So that was just a great time. Then got back, and you know, Mark's like, man, you've had a couple trips. You know, we've had the Reach for Resources right before that, and then Sophia and I went down to the Governor's Pheasant Opener in Austin, Minnesota.
And I've been doing some research as well. Austin is still doing really well as far as pheasants, population, central, east, and central, south Minnesota doing well. Yeah. Rest of the state's a little bit in trouble, but let's see, how did your weekend go down there?
Well, you know what? I want to encourage our listeners to stay tuned. I know at 6:20 we're going to have a friend of the show, Will Goble. He's going to be on talking duck hunting. But then on 6:40 we're going to have public relations guru Jared Wicklin on from Pheasants Forever. And he's going to be talking about kind of the pheasant outlook and how opener went. But I tell
Did you give Brandon his numbers?
I did not, but I will be giving Brandon his number after break.
Stuart, you want to start a page?
I'll do it. I've got to give him.
We'll do a little business on air.
Go ahead.
We catch these things.
I screwed up. I have one job on this show. I don't talk. I don't get guests. I give Brandon numbers.
And by the way, that's our buddy Mark Lukey. He's the producer of the show, and he's the Third Outdoorsman, and he's got a little bit of cold right now, so he's not going to speak much tonight.
Finally,
at all.
I have a deep radio voice. Like
that's awesome. Well, I tell you what, Austin was a blast. Soph and I rolled in there later on Friday, and you know, pheasant opener obviously was on Saturday. Got to rub elbows with the governor. It's nice. We've had him on the show quite a few times. We're going to have him back in. And then they pair you up with different hunters, Drew, that you have breakfast with. And the crowd of guys that I got to meet were absolutely amazing dudes. So I got a big shout out to the farmer who goes by the name Weasel. Okay.
That's a great farmer's name.
I tell you what, that was, honestly, God, when I was my entire grade school life, I was nicknamed Weasel.
Really?
That's the truth.
Well, Weasel said that everyone down there has a nickname. So we hunted on Weasel's land, which was just amazing pheasant cover, okay? And we'll get into the pheasant hunting story in a sec. And then our host guide was Weasel's nephew's best friend. And Weasel's nephew's...
Was his name Muskrat?
No, his name was Neil.
Okay.
His name was Neil.
Well, that's not a good nickname.
Because his nephew, though, who's best friends with Neil, and you guys know I usually butcher names, but I got these down pat because they're such good guys, was Porkchop.
Okay, that's
that
a good
was
one.
His nickname. So it was Porkchop, Neil, Weasel, and I, and Sophia, and then Luma, our 2.5-year-old Springer, and then Gary Howie from Outdoorsman Adventures TV. And we had a blast. We worked it. You hunted from about 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Weather was a little bold north.
Were the Darling brothers down there?
They weren't. But, you know, the weather was bold north, Drew. It was windy. It was gusting.
It was nasty. I was thinking about
it. It was sleeting.
You.
Soph was a champion out there. Neil's dog, Ranger, and then Luma did a great job. We got 7 birds up, 4 hens. So in a couple hours, we got 4 hens up, 3 roosters. The dogs did a really nice job. If the hens would have been roosters, we could have shot them. But the roosters were super smart. I mean, those birds, we worked those dogs, and they had the roosters almost pinned. But they started to range because the roosters, they wanted to run, Stru, because it's really windy out. Those birds don't want to get up because it's hard for them, right? And they would get up 100, 200 yards away. But we had a blast. I was working this big brush area, and then Luma jumped back, and then right in front of me, I hear a crack, crack, crack. Here comes a big deer that jumped out in front of me.
That's cool.
And then we get to the end of the field, and there's a big brush. And guys, you'll never believe this. So Neil's to the left, Gary's to my right. I think Weasel and Porkchop are in the warm truck just watching us. And in the brush, producer Mark, I hear all of this noise. It's just like crash, crash. I'm like, oh my goodness, if these are pheasants, they are going to be world record pheasants, right? All of a sudden, 20 turkeys get out of the brush and fly. And it was one of the coolest things. And I go, that is going to be an amazing story for the 4 Outdoors on Sunday night. But again, all the guys down there, Neil hit it off because he's got a place on Mille Lacs, loves to walleye fish, loves to
smoke. You got any spots for him?
Here well, we go. I told him, we'll do some hunting down here together. We'll do some fishing. So I got a feeling that these guys are going to be friends of ours for a long time. They invited us
friends
through.
Right, they're friends right now, aren't they, Mark?
Yes. Invited us to come on down, go hunting with them when the corn gets out. Because the corn was still up. And, you know, birds can run in the corn a little bit. But
tell them to leave a few strips for us.
Yeah, leave a few strips. But, you know, they got a lot going on in Austin. They got a lot of good goose hunting. They got egg bucks down there, big bucks. Obviously, the turkeys are doing very, very well, as they are doing across the land of 10,000 lakes here in Minnesota. Yeah. But, you know, big shout out, big thank you to Weasel and Porkchop and Neil's dog, Ranger. They were just amazing hosts, really good people. I can't wait for us to go fishing with these guys up on Mille Lacs, maybe even Devils if they want to come join us. And then we'll go down there and do some hunting with them. And Porkchop said, we got you covered because you got to come see my party barn. And I said,
I'm a party barn guy.
If you got Brandy, wild card is in.
Super Stu's going to be there, pal. Okay, did all this story about, wow, what a great time it was, and all these birds we saw, and how the dogs worked. I didn't hear if anyone shot.
Okay, there were some roosters shot down at the governor's opener.
And
they did a nice.
The governor
did get a bird.
Oh, good for
good
him.
Good for him. So
is
that,
he,
that
is
was
he from
exciting.
Austin, or he's somewhere down south?
He, you know, he was from somewhere down there. In fact, I was listening to the Gopher football game with.
Wow, that was kind
of nice, right? And I think the governor is actually from Nebraska.
Originally. Wasn't he from southern Minnesota or something?
I think he lived down in southern Minnesota after a while. But it was great. I mean, there was plenty of spam around, so I thought of Brian Clawitter because Hormel Foods is down there in that part of the country. We got a spam T-shirt. That was kind of fun. But
did you try? You had some spam when you ate down there?
I had a little spam.
Any pumpkin spice spam?
I did
stuff?
Not, but I saw something on Instagram where the governor did have some pumpkin spice spam. So, but I tell you what, it was a great, can't wait for next year's pheasant opener. I think it's in, Fairmont? Is that where is it? You remember where it is? It starts with an F.
He's talking to his daughter, Sophie.
Is it Farmington?
No.
Flappy, Flippy. Samsonite.
No. Somewhere.
Let's ask Porkchop.
Well, yeah, hey, if Porkchop, Neil, and Weasel, if you guys are tuning in, I know you guys have already messaged us on Facebook. If you could save us on air of me making a total butt of myself, which I've already done, let us know where it's going to be next year. But we're going to have the governor on maybe next week or the week after, talk about what he thought about it. But I'm really excited about tonight's show. Not only is my family
Hang
here.
On, we're not done talking about your boys down there.
Okay.
I mean, you met these guys. You held a conversation. You're a good reporter.
Yeah,
we were with them for a couple hours. You dig deep when you're talking, holding conversations with some of your clients and guests.
Yeah.
How did Weasel and Porkchop get their name?
I do not know.
See, you got to lie. You're on radio. Nobody else knows either.
Well, so you know, I could make.
Well, how'd you get the name Weasel, Stru?
How'd you get the name
Big
Weasel?
Beautiful Eyes when I was a kid. That's what I was told.
Yeah, right.
That's what I was told. I wasn't a sneaker. That's what I was told.
I got some oceanfront
property.
Did your
mom tell you that's why they called
you
Weasel?
My mom told me that. Yeah.
I got oceanfront property in Arizona I'm going to sell you, buddy.
Yeah.
But good guy. And a funny story, too, is So I was explaining to them how Luma got her name from a Lumacraft.
Uh-huh.
And then Neil looks at me and goes, hence the name Ranger for my lab.
Nice.
Yeah, so a great group of guys. Again, thank you to Weasel, Porkchop.
So his dog probably cost more.
Well, I'll tell you what. He had a beautiful lab that was about 2 years old that mm-hmm. he had got from a breeder in South Dakota, had some training done to it. And so, yeah, it was fun. It was a great time. Can't wait to go hunting down with those guys again. Can't wait to do some fishing with them. Time on the water was just an amazing event up there in north of Canada. It was about a seven-hour drive. And I tell you what, before that was the sandpine pheasants where
yeah,
we could reach
for
resources.
Times.
Yeah,
didn't you go again with Soph after that?
Yeah, Sophie and I and Dad went.
Are you using up all our free hunts?
Well, we really wanted to get Luma tuned in. And I tell you what, there's something to be said about bringing your dog to a game farm when you get out there because it really sharpened up Luma. So when we got out there for the real deal, I was really happy. I mean, to see how she did and how Ranger did. I mean, they got those seven birds up. And, you know, that's a lot when you're only hunting, you know, for 2 hours. You still got corn up. But the ground was perfect. The people were great. And really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed my time in Canada. And now it's nice to just be home.
All right, two things. All right, number one, Mark is no longer our producer because your daughter, Sophie, dug deep and found out that the 2020 Pheasant Opener, Governor's Pheasant Opener, is in Fairmont for sure. That's yeah. next year. And Sophie, she was with you, not yeah, just your yeah. dog. Sophie, come on. Tell us about your hunt. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time, but I got tired over time.
Oh, it's a lot of work.
Yes.
You know, it's a lot of work. Your mom is videotaping this right now, and I'm taking my glass off, so I look good, whoever she's going to show it to.
You are one sexy mofo,
I'm an ego guy. But so did you get any shots, or you saw some birds come down? I mean, what was your thought?
I don't know. I had a good time.
Did you like seeing the dogs work, Soph?
Yeah. That was probably one of my favorite parts.
It is cool.
How do you think Luma did?
Luma did great, and so did Ranger.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you think of those turkeys?
It was insane. I thought they were a ton of pheasants at first, but it was just very overwhelming.
Good for you. You know, what's fun about what she just mentioned, it's not, again, we talk about it all the time, it's not just the destination of the journey, but all the stuff that happened down there, whether you got a bird or not, whether you got a shot or not, it makes you want to come back, right? You want to continue this journey with your dad, right? Well, cool.
Hey, and
cool.
Speaking of kids in the outdoors, throw that mic back on her, Stru, because we're not going to let you off that easy, Soph. So what is coming up this next weekend that is so special for the state of Minnesota?
It's the Kids Deer Opener. I think it's the Kids Deer Opener.
Yes.
Right?
So yeah. We are going to be headed up. I don't know exactly. I know family's going to try to make it up. Mm-hmm. But Soph is going to try to get her first deer. So I encourage all parents, dads, moms, grandparents, this weekend, you can take your kid out hunting, obviously, get
it's
your firearm.
It's free, too, isn't
it's
it?
It's free.
Do you know anything about this? Is it a new program?
I don't believe it's new. I believe it's been around for a couple years. But it's a really great opportunity because as we push and push to do so much to get more youth involved mm-hmm. in hunting and in fishing, you know, deer hunting is a game of patience, right? It's a game of perseverance, getting up early, being prepared, being packed. And there can be a lot of activity out there when the first shots go off an opener. You know that. The deer sharpen up their skills. They get mm-hmm. a little smarter. Well, this is a weekend where there's not going to be that pressure.
That's
and
cool.
It really bumps up the probability of your son or your daughter or your grandson or granddaughter to get out there and get a deer. So,
is it MEA weekend or the following?
It's MEA weekend.
That's great.
Yeah.
Kids get extra time off. So.
And Sophie, you have to, that's Nicole over there, mm-hmm. professional fishing friend of ours. Anyway, so Sophie, you have to understand that if you do get a deer, your first deer, it's always tradition that you have to gut the deer. You have to do it with your dad behind you, teaching you and talking you through it. And you have to take a bite out of the heart as you bring it out of the. That is the first tradition.
Actually,
so
there's a little bit of truth to that at our deer camp. I don't know. I know we're going to have a deer hunt special, but yeah. We usually cut up the heart and fry it with onions. All
yeah.
seriousness.
I remember being forced to eat that as a child.
And I think Nicole's going to try to shoot her first deer. I know she passed on a spike because she felt bad.
It was too cute.
I did. I felt bad, but now looking back, I should have just taken it, but. I really wanted to, but we're going to go this year, and I want to actually sit with Boomer again, too, and and learn kind of new things from him as well.
So we're going to take Soph out shooting. She got her new 708. We got her some ammo from Fiocchi. And Papa Von's going to be with. He got her a custom-made strap from our neighbor, Vit. So the sling for the gun has her name stitched in it. So she's pretty spoiled.
Like a famous guitar player.
And she's got her own Benelli M2 semi-automatic 20-gauge.
She's lucky.
She's rolling.
She takes after you.
Yep. Where are you going to stay up at your place?
Yeah, well, we'll probably work a deal again with the Country Inn or something like that. We still, you know, that's the joke for our land up north, right? We've got that 150 acres. We have no running water. Every year when we get done, we talk about actually doing something and going up there.
We need to build a hunting shack.
And it never happens, right?
We just put a double wide in there and we'd be good to go.
There is a few trailers you could stay in up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, my dad's paradise. There's friends in there, the rats, the raccoons.
No, it's the flies and,
Yeah, that's not going to
happen.
Are you
talking about the trailers on the property right
now? Yeah, you remember those.
The American Pickers have been knocking on your door for a long, long time.
Yeah, American Horror Story could probably do a film out of those trailers or something like that. Yeah, so big stuff going on, guys. So we're going to have Will Goble talking duck hunting at 6:20.
Yep.
And then special to that, we're going to have Jared Wicklin on at 6:40. He is the PR, Public Relations Director for Pheasants Forever. He's going to give us a pheasant outlook. I know Jared's at home with his two daughters. And full show, boys.
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the four outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with three locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full-service shops at three locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
Hey everyone, Hair Trigger Gun Shop here in downtown Zimmerman reminds you that hunting season is just around the corner. Hair Trigger Gun Shop has everything you need for your fall and winter hunts. Rifles, shotguns, scopes, ammo, holsters, and accessories. Scope mounting and other services like Cerakoting, etching, engraving, and bluing. Also, full sonic cleanings are available at their on-site gunsmithing shop. Stop in at Hair Trigger Gun Shop and experience their great customer service in downtown Zimmerman. Call 763-856-2222 or visit hairtriggergunshop.com.
It's no secret that Devil's Lake is a bucket list destination if you love walleyes and jumbo perch, but this time of the year, Devil's Lake offers some of the best hunting in the country as well. Whether your hot button is ducks, geese, or pheasants, you'll absolutely love all the outstanding opportunities in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Hey, how about this? Bring your fishing gear as well as your shotguns for what Boomer likes to call an October cast and blast, and that's an unforgettable experience. I'll tell you what Devil's Lake truly is, a special destination for every outdoorsman. Go to devilslakend.com.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/terms for more information.
There's a chance your local GEICO agent laughs the exact way you do.
And I said, not in my sandwich.
What?
But there's a better chance your local GEICO agent could help you out with auto, homeowners, renters, or condo insurance. Motorcycle, boat, or RV insurance, too. They'll work hard to provide sound advice and significant savings. You don't need to share a laugh pattern to do that. Local GEICO agents. Call or visit yours today.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000.
Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy like 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief took care of Eric's problem.
And now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation.
Call 800-763-5067. 800-763-5067.
Optima Tax Relief.
It's Neil Freeman here. Is your home and your carpet ready for the holidays? Well, if it's not, don't be trapped by the deal of the day carpet cleaner to save a little money. Contact my friends at Zero Res. They offer the Zero Res Gotta Love It guarantee that makes it easy for you to get what you pay for. So call Zero Res and ask for the Bob FM special, three-room Zero Resified starting at $149. Call 952-ZERO-RES or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the Bob FM special.
Welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen. Sophie's here, Nicole is here, Luma the pup is here, Mark Lukey's here, Boomer's here, Strewman, Steve Strusinski, the wild card of the Four Outdoorsmen. But before we get to Will Goble, got a couple of shout outs from Mark.
Yeah, I have a couple shout outs here. Our buddy John Marshall says, me and Doc still making our way back to the truck. He introduced me to the phrase ditch parrot for pheasants. He said, we're going to go find some ditch parrots. Ditch. Have you ever heard that?
That's funny.
I've never heard that. That a boy, Marshall.
And Mike Farrell says, our vets cops took a haul of crappies time on the water outdoors event. That's the one you were talking about. I need to give a shout out to my mom. It's her birthday today. She was born in 1946, which makes her 73. Happy birthday, Mom. I love you. And my sister's birthday is Wednesday, and her husband Doug Rogers and my niece Katie, who's 9, caught their first muskie on a muskie tournament in Hayward, Wisconsin this weekend. They caught a 40-inch muskie. He's gone to this muskie tournament for 5 years. I went with him once.
I remember that.
You went that one time.
And we never so he finally got one. So he is really excited. He got his first muskie. So congratulations to my brother-in-law Doug, and good stuff.
Cool.
Wow.
Oh, how do people do shout outs with us? Explain that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot about that part. Again, that's my only job. If you want to get on the show, go to our Facebook page, The Number 4 Outdoorsman. Make sure you like us first so you can see all of our stuff. But comment on the shout out post and we'll try to read it on air. So there you go.
You did well. Hey, Will Goble, welcome to The 4 Outdoorsman.
Hey, how goes it, guys?
Every day's a gift, my friend. Every day's a gift. I tell you what, have you ever heard of a pheasant called
a ditch parrot?
They nicknamed ditch parrot.
You know, funny thing is, I feel like I've heard that term once or twice before.
Well, you're just a young kid. How old are you, Will?
I'm doing great. You know, actually, kind of weird. We're fostering a dog at our house for a rescue shelter. And I hate to say it, but she actually just got loose, I'm sure.
I probably wouldn't say that on the air in case they happen to be listening. That's funny. I mean, loose, but I mean it's gone, or is it just in the house somewhere?
No, she's running through the woods right now. I'm following her right now.
Do you want to call us back?
I tell you what, Will,
you screwed yourself, pal. This is a live interview. You're on the air. Tell us, you're screwed.
I can talk and walk for sure.
There you go.
Just don't mind me if I yell at her a few times.
Hey, Will, it's Boomer, man. Welcome back to the show. You handle that a lot better because anytime my dad, who's 78 and feels he loses his dogs every second in the woods, he's screaming at the top of his lungs, and there would be bleeps, bleeps, bleeps. So you're handling this pretty calm and collected, my buddy.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Hey, Will,
I'm here to talk about some duck hunting.
Well, I'll tell you what. The reason we didn't call you because you've been doing some duck hunting. I've only duck hunted twice in my life. Boomer duck hunts not as nearly as much as anything else. And not even this year, right?
Not this year. Well, Mark Lukey, you need the land.
Mark Lukey hasn't duck hunted this year. Will, tell us about duck hunting in 2019. What kind of season has it been for you?
Well, this season has been unbelievable so far. I've shot more ducks this season than I've probably ever shot so far.
Wow.
Now, are you – go ahead, Nicole.
I was just going to say Boomer owes me a date duck hunting, so we'll have to connect after.
Yeah. Where
do you go hunting, Will?
So – I travel all over the state. I actually travel all over. Well, I went to North Dakota for the first time this year.
And so
it doesn't really matter to me. I'm going all over.
I tell you what, I've been following what you,
my good buddy.
Everything you do on Facebook, all the pheasants and ducks and geese, you've been having a hell of a fall, I can tell you that. And I talked to two different people earlier in the season who hunted ducks where they normally duck hunt in northern Minnesota, and they got literally skunked because things were not moving like they anticipated. But I'm guessing this weather is making the ducks come south real quickly.
Oh, I'm absolutely loving the weather we have. You know, a lot of people in the state are just dreading it every day, and you just see me with a great big smile on my face.
I tell you what, speak slowly and try not to bounce that phone around too much when you're walking. By the way, if you guys, the listeners to the Four Outdoorsmen do not know that Will Goble's nickname is Wilba. How did you get the nickname Wilba?
Excuse me, say that again. I apologize.
How did you get the nickname Wilba?
Oh, Wilba. Well, I think you know that. You might know that story.
I do know that story. The fishing fireman is a good friend of ours, Gary Benson. He's a great, great guest on the show. He's a big, big outdoors person. And he said he knows Will Goble very, very well. He says, make sure you call him Wilba. He'll get a kick out of it.
Well, tell us the story.
Oh, yeah, that's from Mr. Gary Benson, the fishing fireman, one and only.
Go ahead.
Hey, you know, Will, you talked about chasing the ducks all over. Do you primarily just go to public hunting land like, you know, WMAs or WPAs, or what do you do?
You know, I hunt probably 50-50 private land and public land. Out in North Dakota, we're hunting all private land, but as the rule says out there, if it's not posted, anyone can legally access it. Obviously, we still did our best to contact the landowners just to let them know that we're out there, but yeah, I'd say it's about 50-50 either way.
Well, I know, Will, with the wind that was taking place when we were out on pheasant opener, that, to Strew's point, obviously brought some ducks down from Saskatchewan and some of the big areas up in Canada. Did you see some pretty big flocks of migrating mallards already?
You know, we saw migrating, all kinds of migrating birds. Myself and a couple of buddies, we were down south near the Mankato area. And we were just a few birds short of a 5-man limit. We shot everything. We shot 7 different species that day.
Wow.
Including mallards, blue-winged teal, green-winged teal, ringnecks, ruddy ducks, spoonbills, a goose. We shot all kinds of different birds.
Wow. I kind of laughed because you said you were down south of Mankato. Now, Will, do you like to fish at all?
Oh, I love to fish. I absolutely love to fish.
So let me ask you this.
If it weren't hunting season, you'd see me with a rod and a reel in my hand.
So let me ask you this question, because fishing men and women love to protect their fishing spots just as much as people that love to duck hunt protect their public spots or private spots that, you know, no one knows. They're all secrets. So if you had to give up one, it was either your favorite waypoint on your favorite lake or your favorite slough for duck hunting, and you didn't get a choice, which one would you give up and communicate?
If I had to give one up, I would have to say it would probably be the one that we were just at, and that would be a little lake.
Hey, hold on.
Oh, no, you don't have to tell us.
Don't tell the world.
Don't tell anyone on the Four Outdoorsmen.
No, you gotta tell us off the air, pal.
Off the air. But if you were forced to tell your buddies because you didn't have a choice, would it be the duck hunting spot or your favorite fishing spot?
He would tell us his favorite duck hunting spot, but he's going to tell me off the air, and I'll share it with you.
You know
boys,
what? I would flip that on you. I would probably give up my fishing spot just because good duck hunting land, right, Mark, is so hard to come by.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So
honestly, yeah, I'd change that. I would have to agree with you. I would probably give up a good fishing spot.
And hey, Will, go ahead.
And Will, do you prefer to hunt in coffin blinds, like on dry land, or do you like to hunt over sloughs and stay hidden right next to the water?
Well, it all depends on the day. One second, guys. My mom just came up.
Hey, that's what we love.
We have a live action dog rescue. I kind of like
action.
That.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy.
So which one do you prefer better, Will, if you're back with us? Do you prefer coffin blinds? I know you said it depends, or do you prefer on the water? I used to, when I was younger, prefer the water game. But now that I'm over 40 and my family's more into it, it's a little easier in the prep game to hunt over a field, so I kind of default to field hunting.
You know, I would have to say I enjoy going out duck hunting in the boat, you know, with my good buddies over a field. Yes, the field is easier. It's a lot easier set up and everything. You know, there's nothing that beats a good old dreary, miserable day duck hunt, freezing your fingers off in the duck blind.
Sounds like a lot of fun to me, Will. Hey, I'll tell you what. How many guys were with you the last couple of weeks every time you go out? And how many dogs are there, and what kind of breeds are they?
You know, actually, we don't bring dogs. The dogs that I'm chasing right now is actually a German short hair pointer. This one seems not to be a water dog.
and he's very fast.
Typically, I go out with anywhere between 4 and 5 guys. You know, it always seems to be the same bunch.
That's what makes it fun. Hey, but are you ever concerned about not bringing ducks back, losing some ducks because you don't have dogs?
Yes, we have found that issue. And we have had that issue before, and we always put in our best effort to recover the birds. But, you know, as all duck hunters know, sometimes it happens.
Yeah, go ahead, Boom.
So, Will, what do you recommend? Give some tips to our listeners out there, the four outdoorsmen. We've had some pretty big windstorms blow through here in the land of 10,000 lakes. What are some tips and tricks you can give our listeners to the four outdoorsmen on Bob Country?
Well, I've seen it work personally, and I got to give credit to my one of my best friends, Parker Jaquist. He's the one that taught me this, but throw out a diver line. You know, you may be hunting, you may think you're hunting mallards or teal or whatever it may be, but it's amazing how many birds and all the different species that key into the white back of a bluebill or a canvasback, and they follow that diver line right down into the pocket.
Well, I tell you what, that's a great tip. And I'll tell you what, Will, the reason I say that is because we've had people on who have been doing this a long, long time, and I've asked kind of the same question, and we get differences of opinion. One of the Tony Samper, you know Tony Samper as well, I believe, Tony Samper said, the mallards would not come into any setup unless it was mallards. That's what Tony Samper said.
But
he's a believer.
I remember
that.
Matt Brewer from North Country Guide Service a couple years ago talking about the diver line. Will, we're familiar with the diver line concept, but for our listeners on the Four Outdoors on Bob Country, if they're not quite sure what that perfect diver line looks like, can you explain that in a little more detail for our listeners?
So a diver line, it doesn't have to be anything special. The biggest thing that I try to do is you have that line going directly out into the wind. And when I say a line, I mean a line maybe 20 to 30 yards long, and just a straight line of you keeping all of your ducks in a row. like I said, you put. At least I try to put my prettiest decoys out in the back. So those are going to be the first ones they see, and they'll just follow it right down the line.
How many decoys are you putting out, Will?
I change it every time, it seems like. Today I was hunting a small private wood duck pond, and I only put out about a dozen decoys. But typically I've been hunting some larger water, and I'm throwing out anywhere between 4 and 6 dozen decoys.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
That's a lot of prep time, my friend.
On Saturday, we were hunting a non-motorized lake in that 20 to 30 mile an hour winds, and we had to roll our little 12-foot funnel about 3/4 of a mile across the lake.
Well, with oars. I tell you what, Will, you're cutting out. Go get that dog, pal. I tell you what, thanks for all the tips. Thanks for the excitement and the stories. I tell you, it's always fun having you on the air. Will Goebel, young man from Matamidi, talking about duck hunting. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. Get that dog. Take care of him. Say hi to your mom and dad for us, would you?
Hey, absolutely, absolutely. And I'll make sure I give the chefs at the Wild Game Dinner a few good recipes for these birds this year.
Well, just hang on to a couple of those. I'll stop by and pick up a couple from your grandpa, all right?
Absolutely. That sounds like a plan.
Take care, Wilba.
Thanks, Will.
Wilba, have a good day, my friend.
You guys take care, keep on keeping on.
You bet. Bye-bye.
We'll talk.
Wow.
Now, I never heard of the diver line you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's literally just a line.
Six 12 birds, divers, all in a line.
Yep.
Right out from his point or his slough, wherever he is.
Going into his regular setup, or
usually you shoot it off to the side, and then the there's a lot of different theories on putting out decoys, guys. But literally, I just try to make little family pockets, and then you leave some open areas where you want the ducks to, in a perfect world, cup in and come in. And then a diver line, they'll typically just really come right by that line and come right into where you want to shoot them, right in your sweet spot. And diver ducks, like Will explained, I primarily have some black and white colors to them. So they're very easy for ducks to see, even in low light conditions. They'll come right into those ducks. And so that's a lot of folks. I have a shoot of diver lines. You know, I have one that I always bring with. So I typically, you know, for the species I bring with, I bring some mallards. I'll bring a couple, maybe teal, and then I'll have a diver line. And I know these guys put a lot into their setup, but typically I'm just throwing out probably maybe 20-something decoys.
I like to set up my decoys so they don't actually cup. They scream by my face at 50 miles an hour. And
so
I shoot about 12 feet behind them and never hit a dang duck. But that's the way I prefer to duck hunt.
I remember back
in the day when I was living in Missouri, okay, and we would duck hunt. I would duck hunt in Lamar, Missouri every morning before I worked at Americold. Literally, I was right out of school, no kids. And I duck hunted on a private pond for 47 days in a row, okay? And then I'd put my khakis on and a polo shirt and do baby wipes to get the black paint off my face. And literally, I remember in the mornings with my buddies before we all went to work, there was such an argument about the perfect art of decoying. So one time I just said blanket, and I just started throwing out pockets and leaving open areas. And we did just as good.
Yeah,
and so,
yeah.
And sometimes you just get to the slough late or you get to the field late. But literally the whole idea is just put some pockets out there. You know, some people believe in the V. Some people have the J theory. Yeah. Some people have the diver line theory, which you can't do in a field, right? Diver ducks aren't going to go in the field. But for the most part, if
unless
you just
you're kamikaze.
Yeah,
diver.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Right. One time I had some wood
honestly,
ducks running around me.
I never, like in North Dakota, you hunted for ducks in a field, right?
Yes.
I never see ducks just walking around a field.
I've only seen a lot of geese.
But
you know, usually we try to shoot them before that happens. But one time, Nicole was with us, and I was with Tanner, or maybe it was a year before you went, Nicole, and there was some wood ducks that came in, and they were running around like a bunch of sprinters. It was the craziest thing I've ever saw. I just saw these wood ducks just running around, but it was too dark to shoot. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, most of the time you're blasting by that time. Yeah. And, again, Will had another good point. You know, make sure you know all your rules, like with mojo ducks or motorized. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure you got all your rules down before you go in there. Make sure you're using steel shot because you don't want to have any lead in there. And sometimes, quite honestly, the way stuff gets marketed when you're walking down the end caps, it can be kind of confusing. Mm-hmm. So always just grab someone and say, steel shot.
Yes.
We've talked to a lot of hunters and fishermen on the show the last 5 years, the 4 Outdoorsmen. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Hey!
Oh, I guess we're going to go to a break.
Yeah, and we are going to have Jared Wicklin, the public relations guru from Pheasants Forever, talking about the pheasant outlook and what he thought of opener.
I was talking.
Listen,
hey, I was
tomorrow
talking.
Morning at 7:50 for the next winning keyword in the Four Wheels of Fun ATV giveaway.
Oh, sounds good. What time did you say it's going to be?
Every weekday morning at 7:50.
It's no secret that Devil's Lake is a bucket list destination if you love walleyes and jumbo perch, but this time of the year, Devil's Lake offers some of the best hunting in the country as well. Whether your hot button is ducks, geese, or pheasants, you'll absolutely love all the outstanding opportunities in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Hey, how about this? Bring your fishing gear as well as your shotguns for what Boomer likes to call an October cast and blast, and that's an unforgettable experience. I'll tell you what Devil's Lake truly is, a special destination for every outdoorsman. Go to devilslakend.com.
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with 3 locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full-service shops at 3 locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Donnie Vincent. Listen to Bob anytime, anywhere at mybobcountry.com. Driven by John Hirsch's Cambridge Motors Chevrolet. Find new roads.
It's me, your radio. And I just bumped into Ralph, who is our chief engineer. Now, I'm not saying that Ralph has inhaled a bit too much solder over the years, but he just told me that he fears success. Now, knowing Ralph, I told him, look, Ralph, it's okay. You got nothing to worry about. But enough shop talk. Let's talk about how you can use radio to supercharge your business. Here's some stuff you may not know. Radio is known as the super local media. That's something you can't get with anything else. Radio has the greatest reach of all mediums, 93% every week. Radio delivers exceptional brand recall, 5 times greater than non-radio advertisers, and radio delivers superior ROI. For every dollar spent, on average, you can generate $10 of return or more. Finally, radio dominates listening in new cars, 13 to 1. Just think of me as the Dominator. Now, you remember Ralph, right? I love what he's done with his hair. How did he get that to come out of his nostrils like that?
Hi, this is Brad Clark, General Sales Manager at Bob FM. Call me at 763-412-4643 or go to radioadvertisingminnesota.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're back. We're going to get to Jared Wicklund from Pheasants Forever in a couple of minutes, but I think, Wilmer, we should wrap up first about the sponsors.
Yeah, let's not forget Alumacraft Boats. It was pretty cool listening to the Gopher game. They had a plug for Alumacraft Boats. It's a pretty cool contest that's going to be coming down. And just had it out in with the Evan Root from Power Lodge in Canada, and it ran just awesome. And let's talk about Clam Outdoors. Ice fishing is right around the corner, and Clam also has blackfish gear. And when it was 40 degrees or 50 degrees in Canada and you're doing an 80-mile boat run, it's nice to have some blackfish gear on.
Hand lotion on my body. Go ahead, Mark.
So Dan from Clam said he was going to hook us up with some stuff this year. What should I be asking for?
Something really big.
What's hot and new?
You know, they've got a lot of cool stuff coming out in tackle and in rods.
I saw the new inline reels that Mike Farrell was.
Yeah, I would do the inline reels.
You think we could get like 6 or so of those? Maybe
we can work them. I think we can work them.
And then we can take them to Devil's Lake.
Devil's Lake, North Dakota, right?
Devil's Lake, go ahead, buddy.
What's the slot on walleyes in Devil's
Lake?
There's no
slot in Devil's Lake.
But well, how many walleye can you keep?
You can keep 5 a day, 10
but when
a possession.
Does the season end?
There's no closed season in Devil's Lake.
There is two feet of snow.
I know, boy. They got blasted. I talked to Susie a couple of days ago. They just got blasted. But I'm ready for Devil's Lake again, and it's a hot spot for everybody. Hey, I'll tell you what. Jared Wicklund is on from Pheasants Forever. Boomer, bring him in, pal.
Jared, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing great. How was your pheasant opener?
I tell you what. It was absolutely awesome. But, Jared, you know, we're a family show, and we're about families. So more importantly, how are your two little girls doing? What movie did you bribe them with so you could join us on the Four Outdoorsmen tonight?
They're watching a show about dragons right now downstairs, and then I'll probably go down. They like to wrestle with me before bedtime. But I shot a white-tailed deer, a nice little buck, with my 5-year-old in the stand the other night with my bow. So that was kind of been my highlight of the fall so far.
That's a cool deal.
That's a cool deal, Jared. We're going to have Sophia out there. I believe this weekend is the opener for youth for deer hunting, for firearms. So I think we're going to have Sophia out there trying to score her first buck.
Awesome. Awesome. There's no better time than hunting deer in the Northwoods for sure.
And it definitely feels like Bold North in the Northwoods. Well, buddy, pheasant opener is pretty good. As you know, we chatted earlier, and I shared on the show that Soph and I were down in Austin, Minnesota. We had some great hosts. It was the governor's pheasant opener, and we were down there with some farmers, Weasel, Pork Chop, and Neil, and Neil's dog, Ranger, and then our dog, Luma. And we had a blast. We saw 7 birds in a couple hours, and I was pretty happy about that, considering the fact that the corn was still up. So it was pretty good. But how was pheasant opener across the state? What did you see, buddy?
I only got out at my place for a little bit. I flushed 2 hens. I only went out for 20 minutes. But you know, reports from our staffers, a lot of them are hunting. There were some of them down at the governor's opener, and there were a lot of them over in West Central, kind of in Lacaparo County, that Yellow Medicine, that area. And they all seem to do really well. They all shot their 2 birds each day. I talked to a lot of different members, too, that said with the weather the way it was, a lot of birds were holding tight. And a lot of people were finding the roosters weren't even colored out yet. So even though roadside counts were down 17%, there's probably some young broods out there that weren't accounted for on roadside counts. And I think by all means, the pheasant opener was pretty good for most people.
Jerry Struman here. Thanks for being on the 4 Hour Outdoorsman again. You talked about you don't seem alarmed that, you know, the overall pheasant population 2019 as compared to 2018 is about down 17%. That seems like a lot to me. Shouldn't we be concerned?
No, I mean, listen, pheasant populations ebb and flow with weather and habitat, and our weather started off really great going into winter last year, and we got through about the end of January. That's when the wheels fell off. We had a lot of rain in the spring, but pheasants are prolific nesters. And in a state like Minnesota, we might not have what South Dakota's population is, but Minnesota's always going to have a great pheasant population because we've got a lot of hunters in the state, and we've got a lot of conservation groups all working to put more public land on the ground, to work with landowners and put CRP down. There's always going to be pheasants, and if we can get a break in the weather, those birds are going to respond with the amount of habitat that we have going up right now.
I agree. It was a terrible spring, for sure. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Jared, Mark Lukey here. Thanks for joining us. It was good to see you at that Wings North thing a couple weeks ago. I had a great time out there. I heard a rumor. I go to Pheasant Fest with the Flush a lot, and I hear it's always great to hear theories of why numbers are up and down, but I heard something that seemed to make sense. They said that it's not the cold weather that kills populations, it's cover. If there's a ton of snow, birds can't forage. Is there something to that? Is it where snow is a lot worse than actual temperature?
We get a lot of questions of that each year, and very rarely are pheasants going to die of cold weather. But they're way different than a rough grouse, that they don't bury into the snow. The snow buries on top of them. So, you know, anytime you go over the average amount of snowfall for the state, that once you get to that point and above that, it tends to start to affect pheasants. But as long as they've got good winter cover, cattails, shelter belts, switchgrass, things like that, most pheasants are going to be just fine getting through the winter if we have average weather conditions. And then we also, you know, with that, we get questions about, well, I'm out there with a bucket of corn trying to feed them on the side of the road. That's one of the worst things that you can do. Plant a food plot if you want, but don't draw them out of cover in the middle of nowhere. Expose them to the elements and expose them to predators as well. Right. That's just the wrong thing to do.
That's a good point.
I'm guessing like cats is probably one of the worst offenders.
Predators?
Like as far as like farm cats and stuff. What do you think affects the population most for predators?
From a predator standpoint, it's going to be your aerial predators.
Oh, okay.
Or avian predators. Hawks are the big ones. You know, a lot of times people blame coyotes and those types of things, and we've actually run stories on in our magazine where coyotes are the ones that are actually killing the big predators are like the raccoons and skunks and possums that are eating whole nests.
Yep.
Eating eggs. That's when you run into problems. So it's not really coyotes, but those nest predators, and then, you know, for pheasants, they count winter and the amount of days that they spend on a snowy background just because they're exposed that way. So, you know, anytime we get a lot of snow and they don't have as much cover as they did, you know, in December versus in end of January, early February, hawks can become an issue. And that's one of the other reasons why not to partake in trying to feed your birds. They don't need it. They'll survive. They've got a lot of history and natural selection behind them. So,
you know, Jared, we talked about, you know, the weather, the predators, how those impact it. But, you know, the other thing that can impact hunting is when the corn is still up. And is the corn up a little later this year than it has been in the past?
It is, just because that rainy start we had to the spring. Farmers got their corn in later. It's going to be a later harvest. The big thing that's affecting us right now is, especially in the western, probably most of the pheasant range, you know, got 5 to 6 inches of rain just a week and a half ago. That doesn't bode very well for getting into those tough spots. I saw a lot of pictures this weekend of roads flooded out on wildlife management areas. It makes getting around hard, plus with the corn in, a lot of those birds are going to be just sitting in the corn. So if we can get that corn out a little later here, maybe towards Thanksgiving, I think the late season hunters are going to have one heck of a time when they step out into the field. Because those birds are going to be there in those heavy winter cover areas.
So, with, you know, Jared, as being the guru with Pheasants Forever that you are, and knowing right now that there is still a lot of crop up, do you have any general tips on how to hunt with that as part of the equation for our listeners on the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country?
Right now, because of the 9 o'clock start time, I mean you can shoot pheasants throughout the day, just depending on the areas. But I like to focus on the golden hour. You know, if you get next to crops in the golden hour in a nice native grass field that's got some big blue stem switchgrass in it, places where roosters are going to come out and roost for the night, are going to go to bed. You know, focusing on those areas the last hour of the day is probably going to be your best bet. The other one would be if you don't have a good pair of neoprene boots or rubber boots, pick yourself up some, because it's going to continue to be wet here for a few weeks until things start to freeze over as the temperature starts to drop. But that'd be the biggest thing. Hunting that golden hour next to corn stubble, next to standing corn, bean fields even are good. Just finding those areas where those birds can walk right into the cover and working that edge. They're creatures of edge. They're just like a deer. And working those edge pieces is one of the best tactics you can use.
Hey, Jerry, it's Drew again. You know, I know this is obviously just roosters only, but these birds get up so quickly, and there's so many sometimes together. Sometimes some people make a mistake and take down a hen. And if that happens, what is protocol? What has to be done when someone shoots a hen?
Mostly the protocol is to leave it. You know, a lot of folks, I would say, give the DNR a call and let them know that you made a mistake, so you're not, you know, somebody doesn't see you and try turning you in willingly.
Right.
So that does happen. People make mistakes. Call a conservation officer. Let them know what happened. And most of the time, they're going to be okay with it. You know, hunters aren't perfect. They do make mistakes. And sometimes that happens, especially for younger hunters that aren't used to identifying birds right away.
I think that's a great tip, because most of us, including me right now, not knowing anything about this kind of stuff, is that I would probably take the bird back and find the DNR and say, hey, I did this by mistake. But you're saying leave it where it is and let nature take care of itself.
Yep.
Right. Hey, Jared, I know we only got maybe a couple more minutes with you, because I know you got your daughters with you right now. But we talked on the phone earlier, and you're probably going to hear more about this from us, the Four Outdoorsmen. But Pheasant Fest is going to be coming back to Minneapolis this year, right, buddy?
Yes, sir. We've got National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. The last time we were here was 2017. We had 31,000 people through the doors that year. So we're really, really excited for it. We've got Randy Newberg coming out and being our keynote speaker for our Saturday night banquet. This year we've got a new public lands pavilion, or anything public lands that you want to learn about. We've got some great speakers coming in for that. We're going to be doing an Upland Film Festival probably the Wednesday or Thursday of Pheasant Fest, which runs the 14th through the 16th of February. So if you're looking for something to do, you want to extend your season or get a start on the new one, I would invite people to join us February 14th through the 16th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Tickets are on sale right now at pheasantsforever.org. O-R-G.
Hey, say those dates again, will you, Jared, please?
Yep, February 14th through the 16th, 2020.
We will post that for sure.
All right. Well, Jared, thanks for joining us tonight, buddy. We will talk to you soon. Hopefully, we'll all be down there in St. Paul visiting you, talking about Pheasant Fest some more, and then having you in studio to talk about it. But good luck out there, buddy. Thanks again for being a friend of the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for what you do. You bet. Take care of yourself, Jared.
I'll tell you, I'm excited. I just found out, and I mentioned this last week, I'm going to Clark, South Dakota, in 2 weeks to hunt with Mr. Ron Shera at Oak Tree Lodge.
Wow.
So I'm excited.
With a legend.
Yeah, I get pretty spoiled. You know, I don't have time to be really into one thing, but when you can go into the heart of pheasant country with the Ron Shera and shoot some pheasants.
It almost sounds like you should be hunting with weasel and pork chop.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
They sound like they should have their own radio show, don't they?
They are awesome guys.
Weasel, Neil, and pork chop in the morning.
I invited Weasel, Pork Chop, and Neil into studio anytime. So,
hey, back to what you're doing next week, is it? Right, Tuesday and Wednesday?
I'm going to Kansas next week, but in 2 weeks I'm going to South Dakota.
So you got some travels coming up, Mark.
Does Ron bring a dog anymore?
He brings his daughter Simone's dog.
Okay.
I thought he brought Bacon.
No, Bacon is not a bird. Laura's dog is a French bulldog. That is not it.
That's funny.
He's good for the camera, but not for the field. But, he brings Simone's dog. It's a big yellow lab. I can't remember the name. But he's a great dog. But I'm super excited.
Good
That's
for you.
Cool. Anything new at Ron Share Productions that's cooking?
Not really. We're starting Q3. We're starting to go out pheasant hunting for the flush. So Travis has been hitting the road. He took his we talked to him. He took his wife out for the first time in South Dakota.
Oh, yeah, you missed that last week.
Oh,
right?
I did when I was in Canada.
So this is busy time for us, where all of our shooter editors are in the field for about 2-3 months straight. So it's kind of like a ghost town. I'm sitting at my desk in my cubicle calling people for sponsorships, and everyone else is hunting.
We were talking about Travis Frank is with Ron Share Productions, and a couple of minutes left, and he took his wife Sarah out on a shoot a couple of weeks ago for the first time because she's never really wanted to.
Yep.
So she just came along, and he got her a shotgun and whatever, and taught her a little bit and all that, and she walked the fields, and he said, Travis, you know Travis, very conservative, nice young man.
Yeah.
He said, you know what? Watching Sarah out there in that element with me was, he didn't say this word, but he says, it's kind of sexy. Remember that? You could tell he was like, this is cool. This was really.
That is pretty cool when you get out there.
Yeah, and she
right?
got a bird. She got either a, wasn't a grouse, what did she get? Not a dove.
I think she shot a pheasant. I don't know.
Quail, something like that. But yeah, she
I wasn't really listening.
Oh, Lord. Well, I tell you what, guys, what a big show. I want a special thanks to Nicole and Sol for coming out and bringing Luma. And we talked the trip to Canada with Time on the Water. We talked about the governor's pheasant opener. We talked some duck hunting with Mr. Will Goebel, and then we wrapped it up with Jared Wicklund, the PR guru from Pheasants Forever.
Yeah, next Sunday, we're going to have a guy named Bob Krejci is going to be on. He just came back from tuna fishing off the coast of Louisiana. So wow. Someone, Bob. So I'm looking forward to hearing that story as well. I'll tell you what, that's it. We're going to wrap it up. The Four Outdoorsmen, Lukey, Strewman, Boomer's here. Sophie's here. Nicole is here as well. We'll talk to you next Sunday. Thanks for listening to The Four Outdoorsmen. But Boomer's got some advice for his daughter, Sophie.
Get outdoors!